fearing you lost control. This was the one thing you didn't see coming, and no one would blame you though. If you cried in private, if you tried to hide it away, so no one knows, no one will see if you stop believing.
Morning. Welcome to the G Spot, the good spot, the Graham spot, the God spot, where all the G's meet. It's been a long time coming, as I always say, but we finally have an episode, something that I've wanted us to talk about for a really long time. First and foremost, I'd like to apologize for the length that I've taken to actually come up with this, but I needed time and the efforts, the concentration to actually come up with this conversation today. So today we're going to talk about a topic that is based on our religious belief. We're going to talk about prayer, right? We're going to talk about prayer from a point that cuts across all religions. And I believe that whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you are Hindu listening to this podcast, I believe there's a certain spiritual being that you believe in. There's a certain deity that you adore and, you know, have great understanding and a relationship with. So, for all of us who are believers, the G-Spot is basically founded on our spiritual beliefs. It's called the God Spot as well, right? And for us, prayer has to be an important aspect of who we are as people listening to the G-Spot, the God Spot, right? So, today we're going to talk about prayer from four angles, right? We're going to talk about what prayer is, what actually is prayer. What are the types of prayer? What are the types of prayers that we are supposed to have an understanding of and that we can make as Christians? We're going to talk about how we should pray. How should you pray? And why is it so important that we are talking about prayer today? Why is it important to pray? So those four key areas are what we're going to talk about in today's episode. So we're going to jump into this really fast, really quickly. And so the first thing we're going to ask ourselves is, what is prayer? I have like three very different definitions, but all of them basically point towards the same direction. Number one, the first definition is a very general and it's not a centered definition. It's an invocation or act that seeks to activate or cultivate a rapport with an object of worship through deliberate communication. It is an act of supplication or intercession directed towards a deity or an ancestor. Well, in some cultures, it could even be an idol. You know, I came to realize recently that there are pagans who are still existing in the world, which is quite interesting. We have pagans who are still out there in the world, especially Scandinavian regions of the world. It's maybe one of those things that I'd like to explore in the future. Another definition, which is also basic, is prayer is talking to God. It's an understanding that prayer is neither meditation or passive reflection. It is direct address to God. Finally, the last definition is by the great Dr. Billy Graham. Yeah, I like this guy a lot. Not because he has my name, but because he was such a magnificent preacher of the word. He says that prayer is spiritual communication between man and God. It is a two-way relationship in which man not only talks to God, but listens to him. He further says that prayer is like a communication between a father and the child. You know, it's not absurd or abnormal for a child to talk to their father and ask for what he needs or to ask for forgiveness for things that he has done. It's a very normal situation. So that is what this great preacher defines prayer as. So basically, from those three definitions, we understand that, first of all, prayer is an invocation, right? It's something that you do actively. It's not passive. It is direct address, and also it is spiritual. That's another thing. Prayer is spiritual communication. It is like a two-way communication between God and man. It is the only way we can talk to our deity, you know, that person we have great faith in. Well, since I'm a Christian, the types of prayers that I've assembled here are basically based on the Bible, and we're going to look at them. What are the types of prayer? You know, prayer, people assume that prayer is just very random, right? It's something that you can do randomly, but I came to an understanding that there are types of prayers, which is quite interesting, some of which are so advanced even for me and for us to talk about. But I got five that are very relevant to us. These are things that we can take from and apply in our lives. Number one type of prayer. Okay, let's look at something here. This is the book of 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. It says that, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. This is just one way that the Bible highlights the types of prayers that exist out there. One of them, supplication, intercession, and thanksgiving. Now, let's look at them from an in-depth point. Number one prayer, number one type of prayer is prayer of faith. This is highlighted in the book of James 5:15. Wait, the book of James 5:15 says that the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So a prayer of faith is made for a person who's sick, basically. So let's say you have a relative who's sick, who's struggling with a certain illness. Basically, this one is centered about illnesses. You can take time, pray, make a prayer of faith on behalf of that person. It would be an intercession. You would be or maybe you could actively be involved with that person in making this prayer of faith. The point of a prayer of faith is invoking spiritual healing for this person. So that's the first kind of prayer that we as Christians should practice, a prayer of faith with the aim of getting someone who's sick to be healed. Number two is the prayer of agreement, or what we call corporate prayer. So this is seen after the ascension of Christ, where we see that the disciples constantly joined hands in prayer. It can be seen in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 14. You could go through that verse and understand why it's called a corporate prayer. So another point we've observed it in the Bible is after the Pentecost, where we see most of the members of the early church would congregate together, devote time to pray together. That is in Acts chapter 2 verse 42. You can go check it out. Their example of coming together to pray encourages us to pray with others. The whole point of corporate prayers is coming together. You see, the Bible says that where two or three are gathered in my name, I don't know which verse that is, I've forgotten. Oh, it's in Matthew 18:20. It says that where two or three are gathered in my name, then there I am with them. Do you understand what this was actually Jesus who said this in the book of Matthew. He says that where two or three are gathered in my name, I shall be there among them. So the prayer of agreement or corporate prayers is done to bring Christians together, and as they are together in that moment of congregation, then the Spirit and Jesus Christ is there among them. So this is one type of prayer that brings unity within the church. It's a prayer of fellowship, a prayer of togetherness. That's why it's called a corporate prayer, and it has a lot of strength, because you know it's not the same praying yourself and praying with someone else. It's just never the same, because the moment you are with someone, then Christ is there. It makes your prayer more powerful. That's a secret of prayer. That's like one of those secrets of prayer. That's why it's so important for guys to pray together. That's why this corporate prayer or the prayer of agreement has played an important role in bringing unity in churches. So whenever you are struggling with faith, you know, we tend to tell ourselves that, you know what, I don't need to go to church. I can pray by myself. But in that moment of praying for yourself, you know, you don't get to feed your soul this prayer of agreement, this corporate prayer, which is very strong, as Jesus is also involved actively in that moment of worship. So this is another type of prayer. Number three is the prayer of request or supplication. This is basically done to ask God for things that we need in our lives. You see, in the book of Ephesians, no, let's look at Philippians 4, 6 first. It says that, let me open for you, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." So, this is Paul basically, you know, encouraging the Philippians, he was encouraging the Philippians that they shouldn't be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So the prayer of supplication, where you ask for things, yeah, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So that's one point of looking at it. Also the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, Philippians and Ephesians are neighbors, so I don't really struggle with that. So chapter 6, 18, it says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that." It's just that part where he says that, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So this is also another point where we are encouraged to supplicate, to bring our needs to Christ. So the prayer of supplication is basically making our requests known to God, bringing our needs to His attention. You see, Dr. Billy Graham actually tells Christians that prayer is a communication between, it's like a communication between a child and his father. And a child has the right to ask for needs from the father. So that's the whole point of prayer, and of this supplication, this type of prayer is asking God for what we need in our lives, making our requests known to Him. The first type of prayer is the prayer of worship. I usually call it adoration. This is where we worship God, right? This is done in adoration and worshiping of God. Basically, this prayer we make. We uplift your name, you know, we glorify you for who you are in our lives. It's worshiping Him, you know, it's an understanding of how great He is in our lives at that point where we are worshiping Him. So it's an important type of prayer because we uplift His name at this point. Number five type of prayer is what we call prayer of intercession. These are prayers that are made, that include requests for others as we intercede for them. So let's say you have someone who's struggling with something out there, right? It could be your friend, it could be your relative, it could be your loved one, it could be your lover. All those people who are special in your life, right? And maybe those who are not so special, those who you don't even know. There are people who have gone through a certain tragedy. And God encourages us to intercede for others, and Paul also. Paul encourages Christians to intercede for all other human beings out there. You see, one thing that my mother used to teach me when she was teaching me about prayer is the principle of intercession. The moment you get to the point of supplication in your prayer, it is very important to intercede for all other people before you ask for your own needs. Do you understand what I mean? Like, before you say, "God, help me with the school fees this term and stuff," the first thing you should do is actually tell God, "You know what, God, there are people out there who are struggling with fees. It could be my neighbor, it could be my friend. Please intercede for them." And then after you've interceded for all other people, then come and make your requests known to Him. Quite interesting, I think. So a good example of a prayer of intercession is in the book of John 17, where basically a prayer made by Jesus on behalf of all His disciples and all believers across the world. You should check it out, John 17, a whole chapter made by Jesus Christ on interceding, the essence of intercession. So that is the fifth type of prayer. There are other types of prayers, but I felt like they are too advanced. There are types of prayers that could be more relevant to men and women of Christ, things like prayers of consecration, yeah, and the likes. But these five types of prayer, the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, the prayer of request, the prayer of worship, and the prayer of intercession form the basis of our prayer life. So the next thing we have to look at is, how do you pray? What is the best way to pray? This is quite basic. It's something that most of us we have probably been taught in school. But we'll just go through it, because it's important that we do, right? So the way to prayer is basically through four steps, according to how I know. And then we'll add some few pointers I picked out there. But basically, the basis of prayer is the word Acts, A-C-T-S, right? The first step is adoration. When you are getting into that moment of prayer, you have to, first of all, you have to be aware of who you are praying to. You see, God is in a triad, right? There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the moment you're getting into your prayer, you should be aware of, who are you praying to? Is it God the Father? Is it God the Son? Is it God the Holy Spirit? But basically, it's God you're praying to. So adoration is the prayer of what I said, the prayer of worship. When you're getting to your moment of prayer, you have to start by adoring God, to making his name, you worship him first, you know, I adore you for who you are, I uplift you, for there's none like you. All those things that you do, all those words that you speak in adoration of who God is in your life. You know, prayer is very private. I don't know what relationship you have, but first of all, adore him for who he is in your life. Number two is to confess your sins. Before you jump into asking for things, please confess. And one thing that a spiritual leader actually taught me about confession is, be very precise about what you're confessing. You know, when you're having your private prayer, you have to be very, very, very clear about what you're confessing. Are you stealing? You have to say, you can't be like general. You're saying, God, I confess all my sins that I have done, but you're not being precise. You have to get to that point of precision where you say, dear God, I have been stealing this week. I have been lying. I have been fornicating. You have to be very precise so that your prayer gets answered. That's the idea of confession. Precision. Precision and confession go hand in hand. So when you're confessing, be very precise. If you are confessing about a certain sin, mention it clearly so that you can get your forgiveness, so that you can, you know, get cleansed. You see, the whole point of Christianity is the fact that God is there to forgive your sins. He says in his word that, you know, though your sins are white as are red as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. So that's the whole idea. Confession must be very precise. So you have adored God, you've confessed your sins. The next thing is thanksgiving. You have to be grateful for the things he has done for you. You can't just jump into supplications without acknowledging the things he has done for you. No. You have to be aware that, yes, supplication is done to make our requests known to him, but there are things he has done for us already. So thank him for that. You know, remind him that, thank you, Lord, for giving me the gift of life. That's the very first thing that you should be aware of. Life itself is a gift. Whether you are struggling, whether you are going through the worst of times, whether you are going through the best of times, the gift of life is the greatest gift that you can thank God for. Trust you me, there are so many people who I believe deserve to be living more than those of us who are alive. But by the fact that he has kept us, we should be grateful for that. So thank God for all those nitty-gritties he's done for you, even the minorest of things. Thank him for that. Finally, supplication. Now this is the best part of any prayer. In any prayerful person, where you ask God for the things that you need in your life. You know, you come to him, tell him, you know, I don't have this, God, please provide for me. So one thing I will mention again about supplication is the fact that before you supplicate for yourself, intercede for others. These are just key things most Christians should remember in their prayer life. Before you ask, before you think of yourself, think of others, pray for them before you pray for yourself. You see, the thing with supplication, it's like circles, right? It's like a rings that are, you know, around each other. At the very center of all these rings is you. And then at the outermost are those people who need you intercede for them. Pray for the orphans, pray for the sick, pray for the people who are traveling, all those people who need intercession. Pray for them. As in, the idea of supplication is moving from an outer ring, moving to an inner ring. You're moving from a very, very, very far point of prayer, and then you're moving closer, closer, closer to yourself, finally. So don't jump into supplication by thinking about yourself. You just jump in, dear God, I am struggling with this and this and this. But then there's your neighbor who's going through a lot. You don't even intercede for them. It's quite difficult to grow as a Christian if you don't think of others. The whole point of intercession and prayer is also to pray for other people who need Christ to step into their lives. So this is just a pointer when it comes to supplication. Think of it as rings, right? At the very center of it is you. You are the innermost ring, but at the very outermost ring are people who are around the globe going through different things. So approach supplication from that outermost ring as you walk inwards to your village, to your district, you know, just coming closer, 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 closer until you get to where you say, dear God, and finally, I'm in need of this and this and that. So that's how you supplicate. That is how you pray. Some other key pointers of how you can make your prayer even stronger is you need to pray with someone. When you pray with someone, Jesus Christ is there with you. That is in the book of Matthew 18:20. You could go confirm it. Pray with someone to make your prayer even more active. You know, pray with someone. Number two is also to pray the word. Learn to memorize scriptures. You see, my very good pastor from many years ago used to tell me that when you're praying, your prayer becomes stronger when you're actually quoting things that he has told you. It's like you're in a court of law, right? When you're in a court of law, to make your argument more relevant, what do you do? You have to quote parts of the Constitution. You know, you say chapter this on and I don't know what. I'm not a lawyer by profession. I'm an engineer, but I do have an understanding that when you're in a court of law, you also have to quote the Constitution to make your case more presentable. That's also the same when it comes to your prayer. When you're praying, you also have to learn to quote the Bible, which is God's Constitution to us as Christians. Quote it, make it active, actively resonating with what you're asking for. You know, you say in the book of you are praying, and then you tell God, you've told me in the book of Philippians, for example, chapter 4 verse 6, you've told me not to be anxious about anything, but I should bring my prayer and supplication to you with thanksgiving and make my request known to you. So I am here making my request known to you, just as you've told me. It becomes more convincing. You know, it makes your prayer stronger. I don't know if you guys feel me. But that's the whole idea of prayer. Quote the Bible. Memorize scripture. Pray the word. Tell him, dear Lord, I am confessing these sins of mine because you've told me that though my sins are red as scarlet, you have promised that they shall be made white as snow. So make me white as snow. That's the whole idea of praying the word. It makes your prayer more powerful, right? So, guys, learn how to pray like that. Once you learn how to pray like that, you're going to unlock some very wonderful things in your life. So, finally, we are going to look at what are the benefits of prayer. Why is it so important? I mean, no one is going to force you to pray, but why is it important? Why are we talking about it today? So, the benefits of prayer. Number one is it helps you get closer to God. It creates a certain kind of relationship between you and God. You can't have a relationship with God if you're not praying. It never makes sense like that. I mean, how can you have a relationship with your father if you are not actively communicating with him? Right? That's irony. It's quite ironical that you can claim that you have a relationship with Christ and with God, but you don't pray. The only way you can be closer to God and have a relationship with him is by prayer. So number one is the fact that it gets you closer to God. See, my mother used to tell me she has been a very, very important part of my spiritual life. She used to teach me that God has his standard set. You see, He is, let's say on a scale of 1 to 100, he's at 80, right? He's constantly there. He's never going to reduce to 60. So you as a Christian, as you're struggling with your things, with your spiritual life, with your, you know, all everything, all the hustle and bustle that comes with life, you might drop to 40. One thing you have to understand is that God is never going to lower his standards to come to your 40. No. He expects you to raise yourself up and get him at 80. You understand me? That's the whole point of prayer. Prayer helps you get closer to that 80, to that spiritual realm that God is at, so that you can have that relationship with him. Number two, prayer helps to reduce anxiety and helps one to experience calm in their lives. Our lives are quite turbulent. That's one thing we know for a fact. We have so many ups and downs. But he says in the book of Psalms again, where he tells you that where the psalmist was saying that, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thy rod and staff comfort me. You know, so in a world where there is so much anxiety, so much stress, so much rough times, you know, prayer helps to reduce that anxiety. It helps you experience calm in your life. So pray so that you can get that calm in your life. Number three is the fact that it increases gratitude and thankfulness. It teaches you to be grateful. You see, one of those very important things that we need as people who are walking through this journey of life is the gift of gratitude. Like, just saying thank you, appreciating the small things in your life. When you're praying, it's like a point where you are actually looking at your life from an outer view. You are examining yourself. When you are thanking God for the things that he has done for you, as we said in Thanksgiving, you realize that he has done so much. So you learn to be to have more gratitude, to be thankful for the things that he has done for you. It helps you to be appreciative of the small things that are happening, positive and even the negatives in your lives, because at the end of the day, even the negatives, they make you a better person. Number four is the fact that it shifts our focus to others from ourselves. When you're interceding, prayer is going to teach you how to think of others as well. Shift your focus from yourself, the other people. It reduces what we call selfishness. When you're interceding for your neighbors, you remember them. So you're shifting your focus from yourself to others. It's very important. It is something that may mold your spirit to appear shining brighter than anything else. I don't know. I like the words to express some of these things. But it is going to help you to shift your focus from ourselves to others. Number five is the fact that during prayer, we are able to hear from God. And hearing from God isn't actually like physically, utasikia Mungu akikwambia, yes, my son, I have heard your prayer and I'm going to do this for you. No. The whole point of hearing from God is maybe we hear God by the things that he has done for you. Let's say last week I asked God, you know what, God, please come through for me. I have exams, right? I go through those exams, I pass, and then I see the results. I have heard from God indirectly through the fact that I asked and now I have received. The book of Luke 11:10 says, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks the door, it will be opened. That's the whole idea of hearing from God. When we ask for all those things that we ask for, he does them for us. That's how he communicates with us. Number six benefit of prayer is the fact that it puts off temptation. You see, once you grow in your prayer life, there are small things that God prevents you from getting yourself involved with or in. You know, he prevents some things from happening in your life. You see, let's look at the Lord's Prayer, right? There's a point where it says that keep us from temptation, and that's exactly what God does for us the moment we create a spiritual prayer life with him. He puts us off certain temptation. Although temptation is very important for Christians, for everyone out there, you have to be tempted so that you can grow. You have to go through hardships so that you build in spirit. Number seven, and lastly, is the last benefit of prayer is the fact that it brings about miracles in our lives. In Matthew 18:20, which I have said again, but I'll emphasize the fact that Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. So there are things that God, there are things that he does for us, things that we can't even explain, things that are simply miraculous, things of great faith, of great magnificence. It's only through prayer that we can get access to such kind of things. Even when Jesus was performing his miracles and healing people, he also prayed for them. This is very important for us Christians, is to understand that God can only do great things for us, those great miracles, basically by creating this rapport in prayer. He can intercede for us in magnificent ways. And that is the end of our episode today. Prayer. It is very important for all of us to pray. So let's take it to heart to create that culture of prayer. Learn to pray. You could pray anytime. You could pray. You will make it your purpose to pray in the morning, in the evening. I don't know what structure you can create. But pray. Pray without ceasing, so that he can be constantly interceding for you. He can be bringing glorious things. He can be teaching you lessons that the normal eye can never learn, can never see. So pray. That is the end of our episode today. We haven't done an episode in a long time, and I'm aware of that. But yes, I've been praying for this moment, and it's here, and it's coming. It's going to be better. We are growing in spirit. We're going to grow a lot. So until our next episode, I pray that everyone who's had this episode today and those who haven't, learn a thing or two from it and become better people in prayer, so that you can improve your prayer life and create a good relationship with Christ, with God, with the Holy Spirit, so that they may intercede in your life and make you a better human being. So until next time, be blessed.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, moving in a mist. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.